We know the first temple was destroyed, and then the Jews were in exile for 70 years, and then the Jews come back. And they rebuild the second temple, which is dismal compared to the first temple. And in the celebration over the first temple, you had people standing there singing and rejoicing, all these youngsters. And then the elders were standing there crying because they remembered what the first temple looked like. And you couldn't discern who was crying and who was singing in the noise. And then after they rebuilt the second temple, they're back in Israel. You have a Jewish Renaissance. So the people turn to the prophet and they ask him, we have these fast days, the fast days that our sages instituted. And that's the famous verse which speaks about the fast days. Tzom HaRevi'i, the fast of the fourth month. Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz. What's Tzom HaRevi'i? That's tomorrow, 17th of Tammuz. V'Tzom HaChamishi, the fifth month. What's that? The ninth of Av. What are we supposed to do now? Meaning, are we still supposed to fast? We have a temple. We're back. The destruction's been undone. Tzom HaShvi'i, the fast of the seventh month. What's that? Tishrei, Tzom Gedalia. Tzom HaAsiri, the fast of the tenth month. What's that? Asara B'Tevet. So, what are we supposed to do now? They turn to the prophet and they ask him, logical thing to do, right? So the prophet gives them an answer that makes you wonder. God says, when you fasted, did I fast? When you're sad, am I sad? I've given you times to be happy, so of course you should fast. What? Fast or not fast? You just said you're going to give us times for happiness. I want to read you the quote from the prophet. And let's see, what did the prophet answer them? You sit there and you read it, and you read it again, you read it a third time, you say, what's he saying? So let's see. Just one second. We're opening the Navi Zechariah, and if you recall, Rashi in his introduction to the Navi Zechariah says this is a very complicated prophecy, probably the most complicated and difficult prophecy, so basically Rashi says we'll do our best. Okay, let's begin. We're opening the Navi Zechariah, and we'll start with what they call the seventh chapter. It was the fourth year of Darius the king. God tells Zechariah in the ninth month, the month of Kislev. Doesn't say what God said. Next verse. He sent Beit El, Sar Etzer, Regem, Melech, his men, to ask God, saying to the priests in the temple and the prophets, should we weep on the fifth month, the way we were accustomed to all these years? So God says to him, our prophecy begins in what they call the seventh chapter. Say to the people and the priests, when you used to fast, when you used to eulogize on the fifth month and the seventh month, it's been 70 years now. Did I fast? When you eat, when you drink, you're the ones eating or drinking. The things that God forewarned at the hands of the prophets when Jerusalem was sitting in peace, they all came true. End of paragraph. What's the answer? I didn't fast and I won't eat. Good, we understand. You're God, we're human. We did fast and we want to know whether we should eat. What's the answer? Next prophecy. And you have a pay. It's as though Now there's a discussion. End of chapter, the prophet finished talking. God says to the prophet Zechariah, saying the following. So says Hashem, I want you to judge righteously. I want you to do kindness. I want you to be merciful one to another. I want you to be careful with the widow and the orphan and the convert and the poor. Don't take advantage of them. Don't keep plotting about one another bad. And the people refuse to listen. And the people rebelled. So, is he talking about the past or the present? Seems to be he's reviewing history with them. He's saying, this is what happened. This is what I told you to do, and people didn't listen. Right? He turns to past tense. Their hearts were hard as a rock, and they wouldn't listen to the Torah and the things that God warned them with their prophets. And then, you know what happened? They didn't listen. The temple was destroyed, and they were scattered among the nations, and the land was desolate. Is there an answer to the question yet? Next prophecy is, though, finished. Prophecy number 3. God says, so says Hashem, I have taken great vengeance on behalf of Zion. I have poured great wrath on behalf of my city. So says Hashem, I've returned to Zion. I've settled Jerusalem. Jerusalem is now going to be the city of truth, and the mountain of God is going to be the mountain of holiness. Great. What about their question? We're up to prophecy number 3. We still don't. Did we have an answer? Did God answer the question? God saying, this is what was, and this is what is. 4th prophecy. Again, we have an end paragraph, end sections, like new section to the prophecy. So says God who commands armies. The roads of Jerusalem will still have old men and old women sitting on the side. People will be carrying their canes because they're going to reach such an old age. And now my computer shut on me. Okay. Reboot your computer. Thank you. Okay, so we'll take out Zechariah. We'll work off the text itself. You know, there's a good thing to a book. It doesn't need to be rebooted. Okay. Malasot. Okay. So we're back to the Navi Zechariah. We're about to hit the punchline.
It's one of those bad
events
for 3 weeks.
It's a
papa.
What did you say? It's
a
3 weeks?
Yeah.
It's one of those bad events for 3 weeks.
Says the Navi.
When did the 3 weeks actually start in
Mariv? I guess, yeah. the cities will be filled with little boys and little girls playing in the city. You know, when we first got married, I would try to plan my morning walk to yeshiva for the time when the children would be walking to school. I felt like I was seeing this prophecy come true. I'm walking to school and I'd stand there marveling, little boys and girls talking Hebrew. I couldn't get over it. I'm walking to school to yeshiva and I see all these little kids talking Hebrew. That's what the Navi says. End paragraph. New paragraph. One sentence paragraph. We're up to the 5th prophecy. So says Hashem. The people think it's an amazing thing that I'm going to do. The Renaissance of Israel. Is it amazing in my eyes? It's amazing in my eyes too. And the question is, how do you read that line? Is God saying it with a question mark? It's amazing in my eyes too. You think it's extraordinary for me? Or is God saying, yeah, it's amazing in my eyes too? So obviously now God is talking about a future time. 6th prophecy. So says Hashem, behold, I am saving my nation from the lands of the east and the lands where the sun set, meaning the west. I will bring them, but they're here. I will bring them, future tense. And they will settle in Jerusalem, and they will be my nation, and I will be their God with truth and justice. 7th prophecy. End paragraph. 7th prophecy. So says Hashem, strengthen your hands. You who hear of those days, you who hear these words from the prophets, on the day that the temple has a foundation to be built, because before those days, man's wages won't be counted, the animal's wages won't be counted, there will be no peace for people entering or leaving, people will constantly be attacking one another. But I'm telling you that the days will not be like the earlier days. People will plant peace, and the grapevines will give their fruit, and the land will give its bounty, and the heavens will give their due, and I will let the people settle. And just as you were the curse among the nations, so too I will save you, and you will be the blessings. Fear not, strengthen your hands. And we finally reach the eighth prophecy, but it's only in the ninth prophecy where he will actually address it. Eighth prophecy says, God, just as I planned to hurt you and harm you when your forefathers got me angry, and I wasn't going to let up, so too I've plotted to do good for Jerusalem and Judea. Fear not. Here's what you should do. Be honest with one another. Speak truth. Have justice. Have peace. Don't think badly of one another. Don't swear falsely. I hate all of that. End of prophecy. And finally, after eight prophecies, God comes back to their question. Ninth prophecy. God says to Zechariah, so says Hashem, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth month, and the fast of the seventh month, and the fast of the tenth month will be... What do you mean will be? They're asking him, what should we do now? Will be for the house of Judea, for happiness and rejoicing and festivities, a festive day. Truth and peace can work in union. What did God just tell them? Prophecies, what was, prophecies, what will be, prophecies of what could be, prophecies of what should be, who you should be, and the days should be days of rejoicing. What did God say? And in order to understand the story, I want us to go to another story. The Talmud tells us a fantastic story, the Talmud in Tractate Gittin. Let's see if the computer works for me. The Talmud says that after the destruction of the Second Temple, so there were a lot of children taken into captivity. They were taken for prostitution. They were taken for slavery. And the rabbis tried to get the kids out. They tried to get whoever they could out. And so the Talmud tells us in Tractate Gittin, Daf Nun Ches Amud Aleph, 58a. Many stories we have, but one story tells like this. So there was a beautiful child taken into captivity. And Rabbi Yoshua, the famous Rabbi Yoshua, who was the counsel to the emperor, the brilliant astronomer, Rabbi Yoshua ben Hanania, went to this great city in Rome, and they told him, there's a gorgeous kid in jail in Rome. Beautiful eyes, beautiful locks, and he's obviously from an important family. So he goes to the entrance of the jail, and he stands there looking for the kid. And in the Gemara, it doesn't say he saw the kid. So he's not sure which cell he should be peeking into. So he stands outside, and he quotes a verse from the prophet Isaiah. He says, "Minatan limshisa Yaakov veYisrael lebozazim." Who has given Jacob to be destroyed, to be devoured by the nations? Who has given Israel to be plundered? The prophet Isaiah asks the question. So he's standing outside the jail. This little boy is in jail, and he throws out half a pasuk. He hears a little voice answering him. He sees a lock coming out of the cell, and a little boy quotes the conclusion of the verse and says, "Halo Hashem, it is Hashem who put us in this state. Zu chatanu lo, but look here, we sinned against Him. Velo avu bidrachav aloch, and they didn't want to go in His footsteps. Velo shameu b'torato." and they didn't listen to his Torah. So he quotes the conclusion of the verse in Isaiah. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Hananiah says, wow, he's going to be a big rabbi in Israel, I'm sure. And he goes and asks them, how much money will it take to buy him out of captivity? So they give him an extraordinary price, and he pays it. And he redeems the boy, and in a short while, he becomes the great Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha. Okay. What's going on here? Says Tosfos, how could he do that? You're not allowed to pay beyond the regular price for a Jewish captive. Because if you do, they'll take other Jews into captivity. How does Rabbi Yehoshua ben Hananiah pay such a high price? So Tosfos gives two answers. One answer is, Tosfos says, he was worried they were going to execute him. So to save a life, you can pay, if you think they're going to kill him, you could pay whatever price. Second answer, Tosfos says, because this kid was a genius. He knew that this kid had the potential. He would take over. He would be the great leader of Israel. So if you have the super genius who's going to lead the Jewish people in captivity, say he's worth more money, and that's why Rabbi Yehoshua was willing to pay it. So pause, wait, hold it. How'd you know he's such a genius? Because he knew one verse in Tanakh? What's the genius of this boy? So there was a rabbi in Israel named Rav Unterman. I don't know if you guys heard of him. Very active rabbi in the state. And Rav Unterman said the following pshat in this Gemara. He says, if you look at the pasuk speaks in two tenses. The pasuk begins by saying, we have sinned to him. And then the pasuk speaks about others. They weren't willing to listen. So Rav Unterman said, what was genius about the kid is that the kid is sitting in jail. And the first thing the kid wants to say when Rabbi Yehoshua quotes the beginning of the pasuk, who destroyed Israel? Who put us in this state? So what the kid wants to say is just the first three words of the pasuk. Hello, Hashem, two words. It's Hashem, he put us here. He should get us out. What do we deserve this for? But what does the kid say? He continues the pasuk. He says, Zu chatanu lo. The kid says, we, the children, did not live up to our responsibilities. We have it easy. We could learn. And we didn't. We learned and we played games. We learned. We didn't take advantage. We weren't the greatest sinners in the world. We didn't do ve'lo'avu bidrachav aloch. He says, I know there were other people who did much worse. But I begin by saying what I did wrong. And the kid says, Zu chatanu lo. He could have quoted two words. Because Rabbi Yehoshua just asked the question, who put you here? And the next two words in the pasuk answer that question if you're looking for an out. So then you say, God put me here. That would have been enough. No, the kid continued. He says, Zu chatanu lo. He put me here, but I know I didn't live up to what I was supposed to do. When Rabbi Yehoshua heard that, he said, that's the future leader of the Jewish people. Leadership is when a person can say, I did wrong. I did wrong, so I could make better. If I can't stand up to it and say, the buck stops here, it's my responsibility, so then I'm never going to make the world a better place. That's why Rabbi Yehoshua said, this kid is worth gold. Because if when he's a child, he could take responsibility, so what's he going to be like when he's an adult? So Rabbi Yehoshua said, I'm going to pay whatever it takes to get him out of prison. That's what Rav Unterman said in this. Now let's go back to the Navi Zechariah. They ask the Navi, they say, should we be fasting or rejoicing? So the Navi says, well, you know your history. You know what brought the destruction. He goes prophecy after prophecy and says, here's the potential we spoke about, and here's the history of why it went bad. And he keeps coming back and says, but you do better. You bring peace. You be just. Don't keep plotting against one another. Think how to do good to one another. Be a peaceful people. Be kind to one another. Be fair to one another. So what's the Navi telling them? He's saying, don't ask me about the fast. At the root of the fast is a different question. What type of temple are you going to build? What future are you building? Don't just ask me, hey, we're back. It's redemption. Great. What are we fasting Tisha B'Av for? Let me ask you, are you ensuring that Tisha B'Av doesn't repeat itself? Are you being fair with one another? Are you being kind to one another? That's the question. So the Navi says, what you asking me? I didn't fast and I'm not the one that's going to eat, but I'm not the one that's going to decide whether this temple's going to last or it's going to be destroyed. So they threw the buck, so to speak, at heavens, and they said, what should we do? And God says, no, the buck stops by you. You tell me, what are you going to do? Is this temple going to be destroyed, or is it going to last? Are you going to continue the ways of the first temple? Are you going to be good to one another? And that's why the Navi goes prophecy after prophecy. He doesn't answer their question about the fast. He starts telling them, you know what this could be? You know where you came from? You know where you could go to? You know how old people can live? You know how much people can enjoy? How the youth can play in the streets? Great. What's he talking about? Can be. Aren't they living the dream? God says, no, you're not yet living the dream. Will you live the dream? And that's why the Navi keeps repeating, but I want you to be peaceful to one another. I want you to be kind. I want you to be fair. I want you to be honest. Again and again, he says it maybe three times, each time in another prophecy, because that's the key to it all. So that's their responsibility. When we enter Shiva Asar B'Tammuz tonight, it's very easy to look back and say, history, the temple was destroyed, people were terrible. Chazal say every generation that the temple wasn't built in has to look at it as their responsibility, as though it was destroyed in their time. And every person has to ask themselves, what's my hand in it? And that's the greatness of Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha as a child. And that's the message the Navi tells them in Zechariah. Don't ask me about your fast. I'm asking you, what are you doing about the generation today? And we can add to that a story, a concluding story. Child comes home. His mother just finished washing the house for Shabbos. And he walks to his room and he forgot that he has mud on his feet. He reaches his room and his mother tilts her head out of the kitchen and looks at the trail of mud leading to his room. He turns around from the doorway of his room and his eyes also follow the trail of muddy footsteps, and then they meet his mother's eyes. He's looking, she's looking. He doesn't say a word. She doesn't say a word. But he takes three steps back and walks to the washroom and takes a bucket and takes a sponge and starts wiping up the mess. Life isn't about being perfect. We make mistakes. We end up walking down that freshly washed hallway with muddy feet. The question is, do we take the bucket out and take the sponge and start cleaning it? And that's the message of the child, and that's the message of the Navi Zechariah.